I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
For multiple bonus shows per week and access to our full podcast archive featuring in-depth interviews, movie commentaries and live shows, please check out the Steel Wars Patreon podcast feed. The Content Club level is just $3 a month and is chock full of Star Wars fun and really helps the ongoing production of the show. All the bonus shows download into your podcast app like any other show. Give a month a try at patreon.com/Steel Wars. Link is in this episode's show notes. And if you do, hit us up for a question for the weekly Patreon Q&A. And now on with the show. I really hope you enjoy it. This live episode of Steel Wars features occasional coarse language. If you're around sensitive ears, move along. This is not the Steel Wars episode you are looking for. There are, however, tons and tons of family-friendly episodes in our archives. It is also available in full video at youtube.com/Steel Wars, which really enhances the live show experience. The link is in the show notes. Enjoy the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, from Motor Row Brewing in downtown Chicago, it's Steel Wars Live and Star Wars Celebration 2019! Please welcome to the stage your host for the night, Steel Saunders!
Hey, you guys. Welcome to Steel Wars. I am comedian Steel Saunders. And I do love Star Wars. And we are live adjacent to Star Wars Celebration. This is unofficial.
It's the best kind of official.
So we are we so uncool that we're cool?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's how I operate.
All right, well, I take all my life advice for a man whose jacket's more pin than denim, so...
You said pin this time, you're learning.
Oh, what do I normally say, button?
Badge.
I don't know, they all hurt. There's this thing going on, and I have to say, Rashad, everyone welcome Rashad to the show, everyone, the producer Rashad. I don't know, where's our relationship going, Rashad? I feel like you're R2-D2 and I'm C-3PO, but like I've taken too much steroids or something. I've got roid rage.
What?
I don't know.
It's complicated.
Don't say what. It's been a long... I'm just glad I remember your name, dude. It's just been a long week.
Well, I'm just glad you didn't call me a Raj.
But a Raj is the guy that started the whole pin thing because I moved countries, and when you move countries, you have to move all the things you own as well. And then after you've gone to so many conventions and you realize that you've got like a Topps trading card in the bottom of a shoebox that you've had since like 1996 times 1,000, I was like, no more pins. I'm going. And so I said it to Raj once and it's become like this emotional thing for him. And now he's told everyone else in our little squad, and I keep finding pins over everything I fucking own, okay? And I just got so sick of explaining to people like this week, because I was like, well, because people that don't, like they give me a pin and I can't I just feel too mean explaining the thing why I don't have any pins, so I've just accepted them. And then last night I got home at an ungodly hour and put my hand in my pocket to empty everything, and I got stabbed by 3 pins.
Okay, this like, is the, where's your little feet thing that you had?
I thought that was a little too pretentious.
Wow, that's something coming from you. But no, but we put him on his little throne and he has a great time. But I have to say that you put a little marker down and... This is the most professional I've ever felt in my life. Is everyone having a great Star Wars celebration? I can't believe how much fun I'm having and how cool everyone is. I just, like, it's so fun to meet everyone that's, like, fans of Star Wars. Has anyone seen the guy cosplaying as George Lucas?
Yes.
But you're not sure he's cosplaying as George Lucas? Like, you're sort of like, hey, is this your normal... Do you normally wear these giant white shoes or is this just a special thing? Love that dude. Love that dude. What about the trailer? Is everyone happy with the trailer? Emperor's back. Everyone's back. I love the trailer, but I'm coming to terms with. I was like, I have to give credit to Christian Harloff from Collider. He was going on about the Emperor in the trailer months ago. And I was talking to him today and he sort of explained it all to me. And he goes, and I was like, oh yeah, I'm getting on board. And then he goes, yeah, so she might be cloned from the Emperor. And I'm like, oh, no. You have lost me. You have lost me. We are going to talk about the trailer. We are going to, if people want to join in, Rashad will... You'll have to pry the microphone out of Rashad's hand, but you will not get that him out of that seat.
If you come up here, there's also a special marker for you.
Is there real? Oh, my...
That's what I like to call a twofer.
Dude, that marker's right in front of my shot. I see you made it so it blocks me.
It's not blocking you. We're fine. Everything's fine.
Dude.
They're going to stand in front of me.
Okay.
Don't worry.
Just, it's not called person that just came up and grabbed the mic wars.
It'll be fine.
Okay.
We're all fine here.
All right. Thanks. Thank you to the person that got that.
Also, be careful. Make sure you come around this side of the room and watch your step. This side being where I am. Hi. This is my hand.
When Rashad comes to my house, he gives me instructions like that. If you're going to go to the bathroom, go this way. And you're very helpful.
I'm trying.
Okay.
Cool.
Okay.
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 Aye. Cool.
Aye.
Cool.
All right. Yep. Is it all good?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You good?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Are we done?
No.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, this is going on too long. I'm breaking. I'm done.
Something you should say to your badge dealer.
Pin dealer.
Pin. Button.
Ooh, don't call it a button.
Button. All right. I just realized I've lost my phone.
It's right in front of your laptop.
Oh, good. See how helpful he is? That is amazing. That is amazing. I've seen it's been so cool to meet people that I know of Twitter. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's so fun. And it's like, oh, you're Darth Vagabond. Finally, we get to meet. And like, that stuff's really cool. But I had this really weird thing today where I saw someone I knew from Twitter, a very grumpy Star Wars YouTuber that I'd muted. And as I was walking past them in the hallway, they were sort of looking at me and I muted them in real life. I just kept going. It's fucking amazing. I loved it. I loved it. I had so much fun. All right. Oh, there's one thing. There's like a bunch of Australians here. Has everyone met the Australians? All right. I just want to get one thing out of the way with, like, the things they're saying about our country. I know, like, Turbo, who's a great listener of the podcast, he's trying to convince everyone in America that a very common Australian saying is, I'm not here to fuck spiders.
Wait. That's... Can you... It's not an Australian saying?
Oh, so you've been convinced.
Yeah. He's a very sincere person.
Oh, I should also point out that that racism about the shrimps on the Barbie,
uh-huh.
I've never seen a shrimp on the Barbie. Okay? It just doesn't exist.
Like, ever?
No.
You've never grilled shrimp?
No.
Why? Have you lived? Can we go back to the spiders thing, though? Because I feel shook.
Okay, so you're an American. You live in America. Right. Have you ever declared war on someone?
Maybe.
Okay, exactly. But this saying, I'm not here... So apparently it means that, like, I'm not here to mess about. I'm not here to fuck spiders. But why is he coming here to, like, get this stereotype in that as Australians, when we walk into a room, we have to establish with everyone else in the room that we're not going to, like, sexually harass an insect? We're not here to fuck spiders. We're not grilling shrimp. We're just here to make content, all right? So just chill out. All right, let's bring up our first guest to talk about the trailer from the Blue Harvest podcast. Big round of applause for your buddy and mine. It's Hawes Burkhart. From the Imperial Center podcast, it's Chicago's own Claire Stripling. From the shadows of the internet, it's MakingStarWars.net's Jason Ward. And if we've got the Joker, we've got to get his Batman. From Entertainment Weekly, it's Anthony Bresnican.
So what's the Star Wars equivalent? I'm not here to fuck Bomar monks.
Yes.
Ask Emily Lind about that.
Ooh, this is the ride at Rise of the Resistance. This is exactly,
we're doing it.
Exactly what happens.
It's opening in base.
Now what?
You finally got to ride it, Anthony.
Yeah. It's Jason scooting around on a couch.
All right, Jason, let's start off with you.
All right.
I would like to hear your retcons, how you were perfectly right about all your predictions.
You know what? This time it's funny because I sat on so much stuff because I couldn't get extra verifications. So it was different this time, and that it. Now I'm ready to go.
Dude, that's the equivalent of my dad could beat up your dad, but he's away in the army fighting spacemen. Yeah,
a little bit.
So what were you sitting on that when you saw the trailer, you were like, what raised your eyebrows above your sunglasses?
Well, because when they went out there and they filmed in Jordan, Adam Driver wasn't there for the whole thing, how he was going to initially be. And so it made it like a little bit more complicated to figure out, was the Adam Driver appearance in Jordan a ruse?
Ooh.
Because, you know, he kind of takes off. He does a Vanity Fair shoot there and then leaves, and he was done really quickly. And it kind of didn't make sense. So I started, and then there were like rumors that he was like, I don't want to put up with this. I'll do this stuff at Pinewood. And so I don't know if that's 100% accurate, but it made me go, what if they were doing a thing where they had Adam Driver out there and, you know, in Jordan just to hide the fact that what they were actually doing. But then we saw the crashed TIE fighter photo, and then it was in the, oh, I probably shouldn't have said that. I'm sorry. But you do see other ships, so I'm not saying which TIE fighter it was. All right.
I thought you were just reflecting back to The Force Awakens.
Right.
Yeah, okay, good.
Haas, edit this out later. I'm not here to fuck spiders.
I can see a spider up there very relieved. He's
I got you.
Claire, well, where were you when you watched the trailer, buddy?
So I was, well, the only panel I've gotten into is not actually a panel at all. I got into the Overflow for Phantom Menace. So I was at the Star Wars show stage, and I was, well, I like to tell people I get a little emotional, like, at everything. Not just Star Wars, at everything. And then Star Wars is a whole nother level. So I was full on, like, ugly crying, sobbing, wiping away snot and tears, and, like, having strangers ask me if I was okay at the Star Wars show stage. Which was good, but I also felt bad because people were genuinely concerned that I wasn't going to be okay. But I made it, guys. We're good.
You're just like, I just get emotional around the miracle of live streaming.
I really do. I definitely do. Looking at little Kylo Rens and little BB-8s and things around me, it gets me emotional.
Oh my God, speaking of emotional and Kylo Ren, did anyone see, I retweeted this today, someone got a photo of their very young child, like under two, cosplaying as Kylo Ren with like the scars with Hayden Christensen. Oh my.
I definitely told you about just now about how I cried everything. Yep, somebody showed me that photo and I cried.
Bresnikan, where were you, Bresnikan, during the panel?
I was in the hall. I was in the panel.
You weren't in the
watching
little,
the panel.
You weren't in the little press section I was looking for. I was very upset.
He was inside the screen. That's how it living in the trailer.
I'm like Drax. I just sit perfectly still and you miss me. I don't even see that I'm there.
Because I was sitting with Chris and I was like, where's Anthony? Where's Bresnikan? Where's he at?
I was in the middle of that big auditorium.
So I was coming up with Bresnikan fan theories.
Oh.
And I was like, well, JJ's back. So Bresnikan's gonna be hosting the panel.
No.
So I was like so excited. I was like, yes, Bresnikan back in the spotlight. And when they introduced the host, like, and I'm like, it's gonna be Anthony Bresnikan. It's gonna be Anthony Bresnikan. And they said Steven, and I was like, this is fucked. And then they went Colbert, and I'm like, Bresny who? Like,
yeah. That's, you know, Star Wars has really taken off since I helped give it that nice push. You're welcome.
So what you're saying is your Brez theory sucked.
See, here's the thing is...
Oh, shut up.
The fact that I did that a couple of years ago is a huge mistake. Like, I'm not famous enough to do that sort of thing. I don't know why they asked me, but they did. So I'm really glad about that. But now it's, you know, you had Josh Gad or Stephen Colbert. I think they did a great job. Or Gwendolyn Christie. You know, maybe I'll get up to, I don't know. Did somebody groan about Gwendolyn Christie? I don't know. I thought it was interesting because Stephen seemed to get a little frustrated, didn't he? That they weren't answering his questions.
Yeah, I thought he was just having a playful volley.
Maybe.
Isn't that stuff all, like, scripted out beforehand?
Well...
Isn't it, like, smoke and mirrors?
Not smoke and mirrors, but what you want to do is you do want to, like, talk about it beforehand
right. So
that you can figure out, like, you don't want to sit up there in front of 1,000 people and who knows how many watching online hitting a bunch of dead ends.
Right.
So, you know, when I did it, part of my job was to be, like, the fan advocate. Right, so you have the Disney people and the Lucasfilm people and the filmmakers who all have their own agendas about how to present or protect the secrets of the film.
We all know about Lucasfilm's agenda, Anthony.
Yeah. But my job was to say, well, I think, you know, this is what fans want to know. And it sounds weird to say it now because it was so long ago, but at that time, before the Chewie Were Home trailer, before that panel, nobody really knew for sure, except probably Jason, whether like John Boyega's character Finn was a stormtrooper or was, we didn't even know the word resistance at that point, whether he was a rebel in disguise or an actual stormtrooper. So it was like, no, people are actually confused about that. Maybe we could clarify that. And then we did. So you want to kind of, it's not like, you don't want to do like where the studio just hands you questions because their questions are, sometimes there's a good one in there, but usually it's like, what was it like auditioning for this film? And the answer is, just like auditioning for literally any fucking thing else.
And they were there to bug some spiders.
Yeah. So you want to just like throw out the questions, figure out where, how far they're willing to go, and then let's talk about that, because here's why it's interesting. Sometimes they have to be sold on why they should talk about something, and unless you have that conversation, you run into a lot of like, I don't know what to say. JJ, what should I say?
Yeah.
And we didn't have quite that problem, because we all sat around the night before, me and JJ and Kathy Kennedy and all the new actors, Oscar and Daisy and John, and then all of the veteran actors, Anthony Daniels and Carrie Fisher.
I'd prefer it if you just referred everyone by their first name.
Yeah, and Mark and Peter Mayhew, and we all just sort of talked through with a bunch of like the people from the studio what we should ask, what we should talk about, and then we kind of mapped it out from there.
Did Anthony Daniels say we should talk about him?
Yeah. Initially, they were just going to come out and wave, and I said we should have them talk, and I really pushed for that.
Oh, my God, because at D23 that year, that's all they did. They did come out and wave, so they needed Bresnikan there to go, no,
yeah, you're welcome. See, I told you, if you wouldn't even have Star Wars if it wasn't for me.
You owe me, Bobby.
That's a joke. Because somebody will write that on the internet and it'll be like, I think he really meant that.
Oh, yeah, that won't be the first time that someone says something tonight and then has to preface, that's a joke.
I have a six-year-old son.
That was a joke.
I have a six-year-old son who's learning about comedy, so he'll say something weird or stupid and he'll go, that was a joke. So I'll just say that whenever I say something that I don't really mean.
Just out of interest, did you watch the trailer the night, like, did you watch the trailer before the panel?
When I moderated?
Yeah.
Yeah. So after we did that little like sit around, let's discuss what we're going to talk about tomorrow, everybody started to go their own way, and I was going to go back to the hotel and get some rest. And Kathy Kennedy was like, hey, we're going to get dinner. Do you want to come? And I was like, nah. No, I did. So I went and joined them, and I'm sitting around, and my wife hadn't heard from me for a while, and she called. She's like, are you okay? You're not too stressed out, are you? I was like, no, I'm having dinner with Star Wars. It's the most amazing thing. So we sat around this table and at the California Grand Californian Hotel, and the actors hadn't seen the trailer yet. They had it on a laptop, I think, that wasn't connected to the internet, so nobody could hack it. And it was just a laptop like that with a big pair of earphones, and they passed it around from person to person. So Kathy and JJ had seen it, so they didn't watch, but then it passed to Carrie, and it went to Peter and his assistant who was there, and gradually made its way around to me. Nobody would see what was on the screen, and you couldn't hear it. You would just read the person's face, right? Like their reaction, and then it came to me, and I realized it was like watching a bong get passed around at a party, yeah. And then everybody took a hit. So that was when I watched it.
That analogy hit a little too hard for some people in the room.
Oh, yeah, it's not a mountain, it's a Star Destroyer, man.
Hey, so when you were passing around the laptop, did you recognize Jason hiding in that bin?
No. The waiter with the sunglasses. Where'd he come from? That's not the guy who was here before.
Well, at least nobody notices you.
Claire, what was your highlight of the whole thing?
That's really hard. I think probably the highlight of the trailer for me... Oh. Well, my dad really loves Emperor Palpatine, and like he always does the, like, as a joke, he loves Return of the Jedi. Yeah,
what?
Buddy. He's got good taste, and he would jokingly do like the zapping, the force lightning thing to us when it would happen when we were kids. And so,
do you want us to report him to someone?
No. No, don't worry. I'm okay. I got through it. We're all good.
Debatable.
I mean, you're right, but... So after the trailer finished, that was probably the moment, especially during the panel, having Ian come out and just be like, roll it again. And my voice is already going, so I can't do my emperor today. It's normally perfect, but I'm sorry. But to hear that and see him do the pseudo mic drop, I immediately went, oh my God, Dad. Like you're not like you're a casual Star Wars fan. You don't understand exactly how big this event is, but Dad, you need to watch this. So it was really, I think that was probably the biggest moment for me was hearing the laugh and just being like, what the hell is going on? I don't know. So that was probably it.
It's taken me like 24 hours just to, like people are like, oh, what did you think of the laugh? And when Ian McDonald, I was just like, this is not, I will wake up from this soon. Like it's so jarring. I'd heard the rumor that there was going to be the Emperor laugh at the end of the trailer. And I was just like, internet.
What do you know? Like, yeah. It opened with that Rey scene. And as listeners of this podcast know, my favorite scene in Star Wars is the Sarlacc pit. And I don't want to set expectations too high for this scene, but the Jedi, who is like, we've seen their trials, we've seen them like sort of try to learn about the Force and their struggles, and then in the final film of the trilogy, they can hold their own, and they're there to kick ass, and they know everything that, like, they know what to do. Like, that's what I love about the Sarlacc pit, is like, Luke's gone back to his hometown, and he's like, I'm here to like clean shit up, I know stuff now, I'm fully confident, everyone, do not sweat it. I have got a forward flip that's going to destroy this. And then you've got the same thing with the young Jedi that's evolved into this like fully fledged Jedi. We're seeing them a few years later. They're back out into the desert and they're about to do another flip. It's all connected, you guys. I'm not sure if anyone's pointed this out, but Star Wars, it's poetry. It all rhymes. The way she was so confident as a TIE fighter, like she didn't even like look around and go, oh my God, we've never even seen this TIE fighter before. This is a new type of TIE fighter. She didn't care. She was just like looking back and then looking the other way, and she just knew exactly what to do. She knew exactly when to run. She knew exactly when to flip. Like that to me is like, it could, I don't want to put it out there, but I think it could be the Ignite the Blue moment, you guys. And I have got very high hopes. Hawes, what do you think about that one?
That's my favorite part of the trailer. Like, it's hard to beat that. And it takes up such a big chunk of the trailer because it is so cool. And I think you may be right. I think that's going to be the, when we see the blue saber, like, make its re-debut, I guess.
But the other thing is, I can't get out of my head that she's gonna flip, cut it open, but then I fan edit in like that pod racer in The Phantom Menace that like loses everything and just skids across the ground. And so I'm picturing like Kylo Ren doing that, but
they sold out at Celebration, but our Chicago Sports Reference t-shirt and hoodies are back in stock at merchostore.com. And this time we've done a premium run on Champion hoods and jerseys. And we haven't forgotten your legs, as this run includes Champion basketball shorts and Champion reverse weave sweatpants. The highest quality and so comfortable. Check it all out at merchostore.com.
I'm just beyond enchanted with that scene. What about you, Jace?
I think the Death Star graveyard was just visually really rad. Am I supposed to be saying? Am I supposed to be talking about my favorite part? Or
oh no
that
no
moment?
No no no! I just want to know, like, what Death Star? What planet?
Yeah, well, I tried to work that out. Right, it could like literally be anywhere, because it's like 35 years later. So it could have been flying across like space for like 17 years, and then it just hits some planet.
It can't be that.
But if it was indoor, like they would all be dead at the end of Return of the Jedi. They'd be like, oh look, it's my dad and he's young. Ah.
Oh, that's what I'm worried about. Yeah. I'm worried, like, because I was like, oh, that's a Death Star 2. They're going there for some Palpatine reason, and it's crashed into Endor, and that bit's like destroyed. And so I'm worried. I'm like, what about Poblo? What about Wicket? What about like Low Gray? What about that little Ewok that got patted on the head?
Mm-hmm.
Like he's grown up now and he's living in this desolate wasteland. He's like Mad Max Ewok. It's like
don't you make they're like, me they're think like about spraying that now?
They're spraying aerosol in their faces. It's
I want the scene where that Death Star comes down on Endor. And I want that little guy, Teek, from the Ewok Adventure just running really fast from it.
I feel like there was some sort of analysis done by some physicists a few years ago. Do you guys remember reading this story where they were like, this is what would have happened to Endor like 3 weeks after that Death Star explodes when it gets pulled into the gravity and rains hellfire down on the Ewok civilization, that they would just be incinerated by the constant storms of molten metal.
Get the hell out of here, scientists.
Crashing down upon them.
Hey, scientists, how about you go fuck a spider?
Yeah. Get the hell out of here.
I think they were protected by low-grade magic.
that thing you're talking about, though, Anthony, was one of... it's or a version of it is being on the internet forever. I feel like it's like one of the first things I read on the internet. And I was just like, you are milking the fun out of Star Wars. Like, it's... Endor's fine. Lando clapped. And then he bailed. And now they're all living happily.
Can I read just something to you? So the headline on the story is, How the Star Wars Death Star wiped out the Ewoks after all. And there's a quote here that says, the Ewoks are dead. All of them, said Dave Minton, a researcher at Purdue University. Minton, who studies impacts and planetary formation, is well-versed in the mechanics of collisions in space and the damage they can do. And he set forth this bold claim in a paper submitted to Tech Insider. There's little doubt in my mind that a significant amount of the structure ended up on the surface of Endor.
Right.
Probably in a spectacular fashion. And that spectacular fashion involves a lot of burning Ewok fur.
Do you want to talk?
Thanks for the bummer, buddy. It's celebration.
Yeah.
Speaking of burning.
But you can eat it in a taco chalupa at Star Wars Galaxy's Edge this summer. Roasted Ewok meat.
I actually kind of want to bring up something that the flavor reminds me of toasted Ewok fur. For those of you who do not know, this is my public service announcement. Hey, I am a Chicago native. There's a certain thing that I have suggested to people. There's a thing called Malort. Malort is a Chicago classic.
It's trash juice.
Get out. You shut. Shut your mouth.
False leader.
I can't even finish this. Malort is a liqueur created during Prohibition time. Don't you look at me, Pappas. I'm looking at you. It's created by a man from Chicago that has no taste buds, no functioning taste buds, because he smoked constantly. And I just happen to have a flask of Malort in my purse. It is a trap. And you can only find it in the city of Chicago. Southern Illinois, you can't even buy it. And I think that maybe some people should take a swig of Malort because it does taste like burning Ewok fur.
All right.
Do it.
Anthony Bresnikan.
Are you offering?
I'm absolutely. That's why, why I'm here, man.
The man that saved Star Wars.
Should I smell it first?
Don't.
I wouldn't recommend it.
You. This is brewed by whom? By a blind man, you said? Or no taste buds? What was it?
It's by the...
Yeah, that's good. What's wrong with it? It's bitter. It has a bitter taste.
I'm from Alabama, and we have this thing called meth. So I figured maybe we should have a little and really get this party going.
It's very bitter.
I am so proud of you.
It's fine. Does it have a high alcohol content?
No, that's the worst part. It's like 70 proof.
Hey, so what's it called?
I wouldn't have drank it if you told me that.
Malort?
It's called Malort.
Malort. Malort.
Yes.
Okay.
It is kind of Vegemite-y.
Take that back.
Oh my God. I'm not sure if it's the Malort speaking, but...
What are the ingredients?
I could fuck a spider about now.
Yeah, let's do it.
Fuck no. Never again.
Oh my God. That shit is gross, y'all. Wow.
I tried to warn you.
Welcome to Chicago. I'm coming for all of you. Okay.
That's the Chicago way.
Also, I'm sorry.
Was I supposed to react badly to it? Like,
you were. I think my favorite reaction so far has been Arash.
After the Ewok thing and him being like, oh, that's pretty good, my opinion has changed on Anthony Breslin. We bonded at the solo thing, and I don't know, man.
We're enemies.
Is this the real Anthony Breslin?
It just keeps tasting worse as time goes on.
Yeah.
That's the best part. The aftertaste keeps getting worse.
I'm not going to say it's like it tastes good, but it doesn't. It's not like I've tasted worse.
It tastes like a penny.
The Brez drinking that way, like, you've seen some shit, dude. Like,
yeah.
I'm sure.
Definitely had a fragrance.
My bad.
One scene that was quite fascinating in the trailer, you guys, was Kylo Ren getting his arts and crafts on and gluing the helmet back together with his little space glue, which is, Jason, I do have to credit you on that one. Yeah. I did hear you talk about that. Can you tell me more about the scene? Does it include a bit where he accidentally, like, glues his finger to the helmet or to a his fan? He's just like...
It's honestly weirder than that.
Really?
Yeah, he has buddies with him. He has buddies with him watching. And they're like dancing around, like, ooh, spooky dances.
Are you serious?
I swear to God. They're the Knights of Ren.
They like the spooky dance.
If you look at the frame enough, you could see. They're there.
Really?
I swear.
Okay.
They're spooky dancing.
Have you ever tried to glue a Star Wars toy back together, Hawes?
Yes. Never works.
Do you think kids are going to, like, get that Darth Vader Hasbro helmet and smash it and then glue it back together and that's their, like, little Christmas tree?
You guys had to glue your Star Wars toys? I had to glue Transformers because those things break in an instant. But, like, Star Wars toys are pretty durable, you know? They're practically rubber, those action figures.
Not when you freeze Han Solo in a cup like he is carbonite, and then you have to break him against the concrete to get him out because you're too impatient to let it melt.
Oh, dude, I did that every Saturday. I froze Han Solo, I said it to someone one time, and they looked... Like, I thought it was... Like, in my idiot Star Wars fan head, I thought it was, like... You had to do that. Right. Like, how could you not every Saturday freeze Han Solo in the fridge and then, like, watch him melt over Saturday afternoon?
I guess some people are just more devoted to the actual canon of those stories because I never froze my Han Solo. I cast him in mud. I would make, like, a little mud paste and then freeze him in that because, to me, carbonite wasn't ice. It was like a crust.
If we're going there, I cut the bottom off of a dish soap, like a Dove bottle, you know, and had like a little tub, and then I filled it up with plaster of Paris, and then I put my Han Solo in before he could finish. I pulled him out, and then I would take a candle and I would fill it with wax and turn it into a creepy ass Han Solo that was frozen in there. That was like the
you were
part.
Bootlegging.
I was.
The arts and crafts. Jason Ward.
I'm a girl, so people don't buy me Star Wars toys when I was a little kid. I had to borrow someone else's toys, so I did none of this. You guys are abusive to your little Star Wars action figures. So
what I love most about that story is you were making Star Wars.
Right? Hey.
He's back!
Star Wars is back.
It's just like when you entertain me weekly, Anthony.
Too soon.
I can't do it for Blue Harvest.
That's all right.
Okay. What are you going to do?
It was called Green Harvest, maybe.
Have you given your highlight yet, Hawes, of the trailer? It's right. What about you, Rashad? What's your highlight?
I, too, really like the Rey scene. If that was the only thing they showed us, I'd have been perfectly happy, to be honest. But the Death Star reveal was... That was wicked.
All right.
Obviously, the M.
I want to do a poll of the audience. I will read out each scene, and I want to gauge your enthusiasm for the scene. So by round of applause, the Ray Kylo scene. The scene where some random ship flies some random place. Kylo Ren stabbing someone in a fire.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Forrest.
Someone. That looked like a Knight of Ren to me. Anybody else See, thinking that?
What's confusing is that there's resistance guys with those dopey hats too.
I guess, but he looked like he had some sort of lawnmower blade turned into a weapon.
Yeah,
so I thought,
sling blade.
Mm. Oh, some people. Well, some people call it a sling blade.
Oh, what? So that's not Anthony. So that's not Kylo Ren in the forest?
No, I think that's Kylo Ren, but it looks like he's taken out a Knight of Ren, doesn't it?
Yes. Really?
I don't know.
Okay.
What do you it looks like it to me, but it could be. You're right. It could be.
Well, like there's
some sort of farmer.
No, there are like indoor rebel soldiers almost, but they have like those. I don't know what you call it. Like those like.
Mud trooper on Mimbin?
No, you know like in like Mortal Kombat, that hat that like Raiden has or whatever. You know what I'm talking about? They're like, I don't know, like rice paddy hats kind of thing. And so like some of the resistance soldiers have that. And so when I see it, I'm like, is that what I'm looking at? Or am I looking at a Knight of Ren? I'm not sure, honestly. You know that moment with that ship? That random ship you said?
Mm-hmm.
I keep getting DMs from people saying that it's the ship that drops Rey off.
I haven't
got to, like, investigate it. Have you got to do a side-by-side to see if that's what it is? No. Me either. I've been too drunk.
The back ends of the ships do look similar.
Yeah.
Okay, so continuing our clap, the Kylo Ren craft segment. No one liked that one.
Oh, come on, it's art. That.
What about the Lando hitting hyperspace?
Somebody posted a GIF, and it was in Solo. Is this a line? I couldn't tell whether this was created. I couldn't remember and haven't checked. But does Solo say you can have the ship back over my dead body?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And they had that exchange, and then it was a picture of Billy Dee Williams laughing his ass off behind the yoke of the Millennium Falcon. By the way, it's not a wheel. I made this mistake once in an interview with Harrison Ford. We were at his airplane hangar, and I was profiling.
Oh my God! What?
My friend Harry.
Dude, you just name dropped, and then you just location dropped.
Location dropped. So we're sitting in there, but the hangar is important because I was talking to him. You know how he is. He's like, yeah, it's just space. There's nothing there. You know, but you've seen him, you know, like, he's never going to geek out with you about Star Wars. He's always like, you know, when Oscar Isaac said, well, you know, what's it like? What, any advice for how I should fly in space? And he's like, it's all made up. It's just space. But I was like, so, you know, in the trailer, we see Rey piloting the Millennium Falcon. What's it like to see somebody else behind the wheel of the Falcon? And he was like, no. Suddenly he gets all, like, super geeky, right? He's like, wheel? It's not a wheel. It's the Millennium Falcon has a yoke. And I'm like, oh, yeah. Don't you ever, ever judge someone for geeking out on Star Wars if you're going to give
so
me
what did he say
hell about a wheel.
What did he say it was?
A yoke.
A yoke.
Yeah. Airplanes don't have wheels. They have yolks.
You know, yoked, like Billy D's been getting these past couple months. Okay.
So he gets upset when you. So he gets upset when you call a yoke. He gets upset when
it's
you
very
call
specific.
He gets upset when you call a yoke a wheel.
No, when you call, yeah, exactly.
Okay, and when you call his medicine a drug. Okay, have you ever when he was in the hangar, was he pretty relaxed?
It was early in the morning, so I don't know.
Definitely then.
What about the Yavin medal, Jason? What do you know about that? What's going on there?
I don't know. I think it was from TFA. I mean, I think it was something that was on use from TFA.
But really?
Yeah, that's what I'm pretty sure, because the reason that I think that is because we had a ton of concept art and settings that had that location being Yavin originally. And so it kind of makes sense that they would have explored that there, and then it becomes Dakar later on. But we have with those roots going in under the ground and stuff like that, it almost doesn't even make sense. Because when you see the surface of Dakar, there's not a bunch of trees everywhere, like coming out of the hangars and stuff.
Yeah, like what you know, like you see all the footage in the trailer and you like try to like solve, you know, where's it all going on? And it's not in the trailer, but at the start of the panel, they had that photo of the blockade runner that with all the vines, it was sort of all overgrown. And that they talked about that, like Scott that was on the podcast talked about that he saw at the Disney shareholders meeting. And so that sort of like the medal and that makes me think that it's like Yavin 4, and that's what the Death Star, like the Death Star was on Yavin 4. But then when you've got the Emperor involved, that makes like Death Star 2.
Yeah.
Like, could they go to the Death Star 2 and like then to Yavin? Like,
but why would you leave your medal behind on?
Oh, they just have a bunch of those on Yavin. They just give them out for doing good stuff. He turned it in for a free pizza.
That's like a Raja's buttons. Except Chewie. Chewie is steel. He's like, I don't want your butt.
Oh, so you think Chewbacca, it wasn't like he didn't, like, they didn't give him a medal.
Where are you going to pin it?
Yeah, he's just like, hey, man, I just moved off Kishak. I don't want any more stuff. All right, fair enough. I guess, like, just to wrap up with you guys before we round the next group, what has ignited your enthusiasm about the film from the trailer? Like, what, like, before you saw the trailer, like, you obviously you're excited about it, you're a Star Wars fan, and then you see the trailer, like, what, like, new thing that you could have never imagined, you're just like, I want to find out more about that. Horst Burka.
It's got to be the Palpatine. I heard no rumors, didn't expect it, so that was a huge surprise to me. Yeah, it's got to be the Palpatine thing.
Claire?
It's kind of a cop-out to also say the Palpatine. That's I don't even know where. I've heard 5,000 theories on what that could actually be at this point. But also, the thing that's really intrigued me is that in the trailer, we don't have everybody together pretty much at any point. But supposedly, the story is everybody is back together going on this big mission. And of course, in the photos, in the stills we've seen, some of the most beautiful scenery, and it's just, it's gorgeous. The cinematography looks incredible in this movie. Not that we haven't already been spoiled in that aspect, but I think the Palpatine thing and just not seeing everyone together, not having that even teased at all. I don't even know where we're going, guys, but I'm excited to go there.
What about you, Jason?
You know, it's kind of weird, but like seeing C-3PO holding on to the thing in like kind of like an action moment that was just kind of like random, it just felt like very Star Wars-y, and I was just super excited to like see C-3PO kind of doing something.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's weird, but that's really
don't get
excited.
Him started on that book though. Whatever you do.
I do have to say, like I did like throw out a diss, but I did get to speak to him yesterday and charming to the last. He was a really nice guy. He gets a bit of a bum rap, but he was a really nice guy. Yeah.
Tell that to Kenny Baker.
What about you, Anthony? What did you see that like sparked your imagination?
The thing I love most in the trailer is you hear Luke say, "No one's ever really gone." Oh. And like, what a beautiful moment that was in The Last Jedi. And I thought it was fascinating that they've taken these words of comfort and turned them into words of warning, because as soon as he says that, it cuts to black and you hear the Emperor do his laugh. You do it.
I can't do it. Nope. Wouldn't have started.
I don't know.
Close enough.
Great.
Yeah, buddy.
Mischievous Palpatine.
Salacious Lives.
Those little salacious. They should have done Salacious Crumb.
You're right. Salacious Lives. The Emperor lives. Salacious can freaking live. Sorry. No, but they rant for another day.
Yeah. So they take, but they take these words of comfort and turn them into words of warning, because if no one's ever really gone, well, shit. That means
Sucker is way,
that
eyes.
Means just think about it, way more than Palpatine could be coming back.
Key
when they say
Monty.
Rise
Salacious
of
Crumb. Yeah.
When they say rise of the rise of Skywalker, you know, there's all this talk, is Skywalker a new term for like a type of Jedi Force sensitive person? What if it's Anakin Skywalker?
What if it's Shmi?
What if it's Shmi?
I don't know what happened.
The people coming back for the dead thing always annoys me. Like it always frustrates me, because I like just like, once you're dead, you're dead. But now that I think about it, and anyone can come back, guys, Return of the Jedi, third act, Ewok trying to wake up other Ewok.
Bring him back. Undo that trauma.
It's alive.
But listen. Who's to say, not necessarily back from the dead, but you guys remember like in the 70s, there were all these like thrillers about like, what if they saved Hitler's brain? Or The Boys from Brazil was all about how they had cloned Hitler and brought him back. What if somebody had tried to clone Darth Vader? And what if that clone has been around this whole time? That'd be cool.
Its name is Anakin with three A's.
Anakin.
Whatever. Excellent. Jason, what is like, what things that you saw in the trailer that you're like, I need to get in a trash can and find about this? Like what new thing are you just like, I need to know?
Well, it's what everyone said. It's the Emperor.
Yeah.
It's why are they going to what is probably the Emperor's graveyard? And if it is Endor, why did Kylo Ren go pick up Darth Vader's helmet and not stop by there and just pick up some stuff too? But, you know, just saying, while you're out, you know.
Collect them all.
Right?
Collect them all.
Yeah.
All right, well, please thank our first round of guests. We had Horst Burkhardt, Claire Stripling. I'm going to hang on to Anthony Bresnikan, but please thank Jason Ward.
Thank you. Thank you.
Come over here, Anthony. Come over here.
I didn't know I was going to be for two segments. How special.
Should we bring out some new guests?
Sure.
Okay. Let's welcome from Mashable, the author of How Star Wars Conquered the Universe, it's Chris Taylor. From the Cantobite Dispatch, please welcome Emily Lind. And give it up from the Sith list, it's a Raj!
Oh, thank you.
What's that? What's the sticker?
We have too many microphones. Ooh.
Uh-oh.
I switched to Rashad for this round.
All right, first up, we'll just start with Raj. What was your highlight?
Oh, man. Highlight was obviously Palpatine. It was unbelievable. My highlight was being next to Mike Pappas and Benjamin Ward from Star Wars Underworld. And when Palpatine's laugh started, Mike Pappas literally thought he was at a rave. And he just started jumping up and down and doing this. And then seeing the joy on Benjamin Hart's face, I just looked at both of them and I was just like in awe. So yeah, Palpatine for sure. It was unbelievable.
Did Mike Pappas think he's at a rave and then start trying to sell tickets to it?
Yeah. Yeah, Mike Pappas actually bought a jacket from Celebration Floor and he tried to sell it to me for like $20 more. So he's, typical Pappas.
I did a, I did a Patreon episode with Corey and Mike last night, I think. It's all a blur. But Corey sold, he got a set of Funkos for $100 and sold them for $1,000.
Yeah, saw that.
When Mike Pappas realized that, oh my God, if you thought like raised tear was emotional,
right.
It was out of control. Emily, what was your highlight?
You know, like the Death Star ruins are amazing, but for some reason, although I've always loved Lando, I was sort of surprised by how emotionally hit I was to see him in the Falcon again, Chewie by his side, doing the Lando laugh. It was the best like Star Wars nostalgia hit for me.
Yeah, it was a weird like meta double thing, because I saw Lando in hyperspace in the Falcon like laughing. But then I also thought of Billy Dee Williams just like, yes, third film, got in. Woo-hoo! But that laugh that was something special. I am worried about Lando, though, because generally Lando's seen as like a pretty smooth, fashionable guy. But how fashionable are you if you're wearing the same shit from 40 years ago?
Classic. It's classic.
It's classic Lando.
Okay. All
right. It's like when fashion comes around, like those really dorky, tiny... Sorry, shouldn't say dorky. Those tiny little glasses from the 90s. You know what I mean? The small glasses that a lot of people are starting to wear again.
Uh-huh.
It comes back around.
Okay. Chris, what was your highlight?
Well, I'm surprised no one's mentioned it yet, but the Leia hugging Rey. I mean, we knew Leia was going to be in this, right? We knew that they were using old footage. My assumption was she's going to appear on a screen somewhere. She'll be giving them orders. She'll be a hologram. It'll be something where they can sort of cover up the fact that it's, you know, saved from the cutting room floor. But they just come right out and have her hugging Rey and the tear dropping down Rey's face. I that was the part of the trailer that stabbed me in the heart and twisted and would not let go. And you were sitting next to me as we were watching this, and you knew that beforehand I was pretty jaded about the whole thing. But that part...
Oh, my God. I was getting so frustrated with Chris. Was I too hyped up sitting next to you? I felt bad.
You were pretty hyped up. No, you got me hyped up. I appreciated that. You were the hype man for Star Wars.
Oh, don't associate me with the hype man of Star Wars Celebration. Which Skywalker is rising? Anthony, who do you think's rising?
I don't know. Like, I would be guessing, but I think it's going to have multiple meanings.
Is one of those meanings that we're going to get a blue Hayden Christensen?
I doubt it.
Chris?
I say yes, 100%. Take it to the bank. Hayden Christensen is going to appear in this movie. If only at the very end, you know, mirroring or rhyming with Return of the Jedi.
Hey, it's poetry.
He's going to be... I think we may even see Blue Ewan.
Ooh.
McGregor. Right? Because I think the key word that not a lot of people have analyzed from the trailer is we.
Yeah, we.
The very first thing Luke says is that we have prepared you. We have trained you. Who's he talking about? Who's this we? Only he, so far that we know of, has trained Rey. Mm. But now he's dead. He's off communing with the other Force ghosts. Maybe they've got a little, you know, Jedi dojo in the afterlife.
I'm thrilled about the title for two reasons. One is... the word Skywalker is in the title, which I'm very, very thrilled about. The other reason is I wanted a title where we didn't know what it meant. Like, I think, like, the Force Awakens is awesome. The Last Jedi, like, do you know what I mean? We debated if it was going to be Luke or Rey or whatever. And even, like, Return of the Jedi, people still debate if it's about, like, the Jedi in the title is Luke or Anakin or... the Jedi as a whole, and the rise of Skywalker is that sort of ambiguous thing where we can like ponder it f- for months and wonder, and maybe after we see the film, we still don't know what it referred to.
Well, let's walk through what the possibilities are. The Rise of Skywalker. It could be the return of goodness to Kylo Ren, mm-hmm. right? It could be the Skywalker in him rising back up, just as the Anakin Skywalker returns to emerge from within Darth Vader.
Uh-huh.
Could be some sort of resurrection of Vader. Could be we find out what that Rey has some lineage or connection to the Skywalkers.
Please not.
Could be, but I'm just saying these are possibilities. Could be this theory that, although it doesn't track quite with the title, Rise of Skywalkers is not, that doesn't suggest to me a new tribe, you know?
No. Well, I've seen people make the leap that it's going to mean that Jedi, like there's a new type of Jedi cultist.
Yeah, doesn't track with the title with me, but yeah, that's not how you say that.
But the rad thing is like they've made the leap and they're furious about it. Like they made this.
They made their own leak and then they're upset about their own leak.
Yeah. Emily, what do you take it to mean?
I'm not sure yet. And right now I really like the title. And I feel like in a month, I'm going to be really sick of hearing the debate of what the title means. I really, truly hope, and I apologize to Johnny Grasso for this, if it means that Rey has blood lineage as a Skywalker, I'm going to be furious. If it is referring to Rey, which I think it could possibly be, I hope it's maybe her claiming a name rather than right. a bloodline.
Why does the bloodline thing bother you so much?
Well, I just I
you
feel
said
like
furious.
She did say furious.
I did. Look, you could do it would be very hard to make her a Skywalker in a way that didn't have a really negative impact on whoever her parents are. Like this theory that it's Leia. The idea of Leia giving up her child under any circumstances, I find really hard to figure out how they could do that in 2.5 hours.
I did like the idea that she's a nobody, as they say, like in this idea that other people may have a connection, that it's not goodness and force sensitivity is not solely something you inherit because of your blood, that it's something you can earn.
Literally, my first question after the trailer, and this shows you where my headcanon goes, is can Force ghosts legally adopt in the galaxy far, far away? Is there a law that says that, you know, Luke can now adopt Rey as a Skywalker?
Because that's my theory that...
I'm not a ghost litigator. So.
that since, like, The Force Awakens, I've sort of always thought that by the end, like Luke will give her the name or she'll take the name. Like she doesn't have a surname, but by the end she will be not related to Skywalkers, but take on that name as sort of like a, you know, like a tribute sort of thing. Like, Araj, what did you make of the title?
Well, before I do this, I don't want to have everybody unfollow me on Twitter, but I have a theory. Now, what if the Rise of Skywalker means they resurrect Luke? And once they resurrect Luke, once to balance it out at all, it resurrects Palpatine as well. I got some ooze. That's really good. So what if, exactly. What if that's how we hear Palpatine is because unknowingly, when you resurrect a Skywalker on the light side, the dark side also resurrects. Ooh. So that's how I am computing it. I would love to, I don't want that. I'm just saying, I think that's maybe how it's gonna go down.
Okay. To get the full Chicago live show experience, join us at the Steel Wars Patreon, which is patreon.com/Steel Wars. As on the $3 a month content club, we will be showing in full the Too Hot For YouTube erotic fan fiction live read, penned by our buddy Emily Lind and performed by Mashable's Chris Taylor as Grand Moff Tarkin and the Rogue One podcast Johnny Grasso as director Orson Krennic, all narrated by Now This Is Podcasting's Randy Lagudice. It is a hilarious half hour not to be missed, but strictly adult only. And as part of your $3 Content Club membership for the month, you get access to over 500 Steel Wars episodes, full-length interviews, live comedy festival shows, movie commentaries, and so much more. And it supports the continued production of fun stuff like this. If you're watching this as part of the live premiere for May the 4th, then go to your Patreon page right now and you'll have the link to go to the erotic fanfiction so we can all chat along live directly after this show concludes. It is going to be hilarious. I cannot wait to see your reactions. Check it all out at patreon.com/steelwars. Hey, so Araj and Rashad over here, both names.
Yep, yes, that's us.
He's got a mic. If anyone wants to jump up and, oh, here we go. Please, everyone, welcome to the podcast. It's King Tom.
Yeah. Hey, Tom.
Now, I do love, like, meeting people, like off the internet, like, on Twitter, and, like, people come up and I'm like, I'm Boba Freddy. And I was like, oh, yeah, I know you guys. And that's awesome that they've, like, you know, it's like Twitter's come in real life. But to be recording a podcast and then in real life, King Tom walks in to ask a question. That's meta as fuck.
I had to.
What do you got, Tom?
Okay, I have two questions.
Shit.
Of course you do.
First is for everyone. Second is just for you.
Gotcha.
Here's what I've been thinking. If you were to tell me 3 weeks ago that in this trailer we would hear or experience the presence of Palpatine, I would not have been happy with that. But in that panel, seeing that trailer, watching it again in the hotel room, I am thrilled. I don't know what they're going to do with him, but I am thrilled that whatever they're doing, I trust JJ enough to do it. Am I crazy for thinking that? Am I the only one who's had a similar experience in going from, I don't want to see that, to yes, give that to me now, because Ian McDiarmid going out there and saying, roll it again, made me want to change my pants.
Roll it again.
And I'm ready for it. Am I the only one who's experienced that? My second question, Steel, out of all the badges and pins you've received, what is your favorite?
Hey, you better say the Sith list.
Hi, Steel.
Yeah.
I would have to say the several Canto Bite Dispatch badges.
Death Watch.
That I found.
I will say this. Steel never received mine because he just looked at me and goes, I don't do badges, bro.
I guilted him into taking mine.
I tried to guilt him. He goes, no, I don't do badges, buddy. And it broke my heart.
Broke my heart. I'm with you on the Emperor thing. Not so much that, like, now it's presented, I'm like, ooh, I'm just, like, into it because I'm like, please be good. Like, please, like, I just want it to be good. So I'm on board just for, I just hope the film is good and it makes sense. And I don't know, did Kathleen Kennedy say that the Emperor thing has been planned the whole time?
Yeah, the entire time. It's been planned the entire time for this episode.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting. What's this? We've got two proper journalists here, which I'm very thrilled about. Like, was not the narrative at the start was like, we get to, like the filmmakers are sort of getting to do whatever they want and take it? Like,
it was, yeah, it was Abrams and Kazdan saying, what is going to surprise and delight us, right? That was the phrase that they kept returning to. Right? What scenes do we want to see? As Star Wars fans, what will surprise and delight us? But not to, just to return to the Emperor thing, not to be the designated killjoy, but we are talking about J.J. Abrams here, right? The master of misdirection.
Oh.
I want everyone to be ready for the Emperor not actually physically being in this, for it to be an ancient hologram, for it to be something, some way that he's projecting himself beyond his death where he's not actually physically alive.
But would that be a letdown as of right now? After we hear him laughing, that would be a huge letdown.
Yeah, and after him coming out on stage would be a huge letdown.
Yes, that's right. Exactly.
Yeah, but in terms of like, I don't know, I kind of feel like it would be like a weird switcheroo, but in terms of the movie, I might actually prefer it. Huh? Like when I think about it, rather than a resurrection.
I mean, it's sort of, you know, you have the same issue with Darth Maul, right? Is it okay that he fell down that giant shaft in two pieces and then it's not okay?
It's not okay. It's not okay.
Came back as a spider.
And we all know we're not here to fuck spiders.
I never knew I wanted to fuck Darth Maul, but I saw him down that cave and I was like, hey, let's go. But I think JJ said he was very happy that it didn't leak that Ian McDiarmid is on set, but that could be a double misdirection, and he's happy it didn't leak, and it didn't leak because he wasn't there.
I blame Jason Ward for that, by the way.
Okay.
How did he not have that?
Okay, nice. Is that all your answers? Did we answer everything there?
I think so.
Okay. Have we got one more question? All right, nice. Who are you and where did you walk in from?
My name's Daniel Miller. I'm from Broaxium. And I just had one thing. You all know that Lord Momin bound his dark side essence to the mask. What if Palpatine was bound to the Death Star too when he fell down that shaft?
Ooh.
And we get some kind of Bane moment that Yoda experienced on Moriband, where we get a somewhat Force ghost of Palpatine.
Do we want Force ghost Palpatine? Or do we want Palpatine as Palpatine?
I'm not saying what do we want, but what are we going to get?
I may be misremembering this, but I seem to remember someone saying that you can't have Sith Force ghosts. That may have been a Lucas dictum, that the Sith have not advanced to that level.
Yeah,
it's only, you know, it's a very limited number. It's not even all Jedi, right? It's Qui-Gon, it's Obi-Wan, it's Yoda, and now it's Luke.
But, I mean, Momin was able to bind himself to a mask and manifest himself once again. Bane was able to show himself before Yoda. It's right. A possibility.
We're getting into the Clone Wars deep cuts here.
Yeah.
Was Palpatine ever really a man?
Oh, wow.
You know, is it possible that he's like Pazuzu from The Exorcist, this presence that's inhabiting someone? Oh. Maybe you can't just kill that because you killed the physical form.
Yeah, Sheev was a man.
He was, but was the Emperor, that cackling, bizarre creature, sort of a, you know, he's talking about binding yourself to a mass. Well, couldn't you have, like, some sort of ancient dark side sort of entity that inhabits him or possesses him? So maybe that's what we're getting, is this spirit which isn't incinerated by being thrown down whatever that shaft was.
It does have to tie in with Snoke somehow, right? We do have to finally get a Snoke theory that works.
Hey. The more Snoke theories, the merrier, you guys. Yeah. I was paranoid halfway through The Last Jedi that we wouldn't get any more. And hey,
it's all going to tie together. I'm actually convinced. You want my worst possible theory?
Yep.
We're going to find out that Rey was a virgin birth.
Ooh.
And that the Emperor manipulated the Force, and I'm not going to say the midichlorian word, but, you know, manipulated the Force to bring about her birth.
Yeah.
I another Anakin.
I don't want that to happen, but I feel like it could happen.
It would tie everything together, wouldn't it?
Hey,
episodes
poetry.
1 through 9.
Mm-hmm.
Possible.
We theorize like this, but really the movies keep it pretty mainstream for the casual fan. So I doubt they're going to spend 40 minutes of the movie exploring this kind of mythology.
Yeah.
They're just not.
Yeah.
So they're going to hit it pretty quick.
Yeah, that was always the thing with, like, anyone being, like, Rey being, like, like a Kenobi, like the granddaughter. It's like, how do you explain the, like, how do you go into a family? Like, Yoda appears and he gets out the family tree and then, like, Force
goes. And he sets it on fire.
Yeah, Force Ghost Maury Povich comes in and he, like, declares stuff. It's no good. It's no good. I think we've gone enough into the trailer. So we will exit a few of our guests. Please give a round of applause for Raj.
Hey, steal. Hold on. Can I do one thing? And I promised you I would do this because I really want to do this. Can we do a cheers to how great this is and how the community of Star Wars and the fandom should be, because this is exactly how it should
be. That's wonderful, yeah.
So cheers to Steel Saunders, cheers to Steel Wars, cheers to just you guys, fandom and Star Wars. Cheers.
Woo! Let's hear it for Anthony!
What's up, Al?
Does that mean to leave?
Yeah. Oh, I gotta leave too. I gotta leave too, buddy.
Now, there's two guests left on the couch. Emily.
Hi, Steele.
What does this mean?
I think it means I'm about to be hideously embarrassed.
I would like you to come sit over close to me because, guys, it's time for some erotic fan fiction. No, you go there. You go there. Please welcome to our erotic fan fiction panel the narrator. As always, please welcome Randy Lagudice.
I'm so sorry.
Please give a round of applause to our erotic fan fiction author, Emily Lind. Playing the role of Grand Moff Tarkin will be Chris Taylor. And joining the panel, playing the role of Orson Krennic, please welcome your friend and mine, show business's own, Johnny Grasso.
I love this. This is a surprise to me.
Johnny motherfucking Grasso.
What have you done?
What have I done? Can you,
This is a mistake.
Randy, how's your convention going?
So far, it's been great.
Nice.
It's been awesome. What do you think of the trailer?
I'm a huge fan.
Yeah?
Huge fan. What's been your highlight of the whole deal?
Honestly, probably that trailer. That trailer was great.
And Jonathan Grasso, how you been going?
I've been doing well, man. I absolutely love the trailer. I love that my theory that Rey is a Skywalker, the trailer helped me out a little bit. So Crazy Town Occupation 1 just got some new people moving in, so I'm psyched about that.
Nice. Okay, so it is a bit of a celebration live podcast tradition to do the erotic fan fiction. And if those haven't been following all along, at the first erotic fan fiction live read we did was at the LA Podcast Fest, and we actually did find legitimate erotic fan fiction on the internet and did a read. And in that audience, Emily Lind was there.
I was. It was glorious.
And then for Celebration Orlando, she stepped up and said, I can out erotic fan fiction that lady. And tonight, you've written a special piece, a sequel, if you will. What was your inspiration?
I probably shouldn't go into it too far. My inspiration was basically, what can I do to most embarrass myself and also make Steel blush when he read it?
Nice. I read it in my car, and several times I went, oh. Oh.
Orson Krennic stomped down the corridors of his darling Death Star, his cape billowing behind him.
Hey guys, thanks so much for listening. If you enjoyed this live episode, please pod it forward. Give it a share on Facebook, Twitter, or wherever you talk about Star Wars. The latest episode announcement is normally pinned to the top of the Twitter or Facebook feed. Now, if you want to see or hear the full night's activities in Chicago and get the erotic fan fiction live read, which is adults only and hilarious, please consider joining the Steel Wars Patreon content club for the month. For just $3, you get instant access to either the audio or video of the fan fiction. The video is insane, along with 500 other episodes in our Patreon archives. And along with that, you'll get a couple of bonus episodes this week. I just put up a new news episode today. And it all goes to support the Steel Wars podcast. So if that is of interest and within your means, and you'd like to hear some very funny late night, adults only Star Wars humor, check it out at patreon.com/Steel Wars. Thanks so much, and may that force be with you.
How you feeling about the play so far?
You know, I think it's exceeded all of my expectations.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.